All right, this is week two, and we have another question. Question is, how do we even know, or how could we know, or what would be some indications that tell us that we might be living in the last days and, you know, are getting close to that time period?
Sure. So in the Bible, Jesus, one of his largest messages, preaching messages, one of his largest discourses is known as the Olivet Discourse. It's found in Matthew 23, 24, 25, and it's where he does his most extensive teaching on the end times. And in the Olivet Discourse, or some know it as the End Times Discourse, he gives four different time frames. And he actually tells us the signs that take place in each one of those time frames. First time frame is the beginning of birth pangs. Then he says the tribulation, or the great tribulation. He uses those interchangeably. Then he says after the tribulation. Mm-hmm. And then he talks about the age to come, because they asked him, what are the signs of your coming and the age to come? And so he's literally in his Olivet Discourse, he's unpacking all the signs that go with each one of those time frames of the end of the age. Mm-hmm. And so in Matthew 24, he gives us seven signs that take place on the earth, and he describes them in a way. He says, when you see these things, you'll know that it's the time of the end is coming. It's near, but it's not yet, because mm-hmm. there's going to be some things that catalyze the very, you know, the greatest time of challenge, the greatest time of tribulation the earth has ever seen. But these signs, these seven global signs, he calls them birth pangs, and so they set up the context for the baby, so to speak, of the end times to be birth and right. the kingdom to come in fullness. And so he says there'll be wars. There'll be rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation, people against people, kingdom against kingdom. He says there'll be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. And so when you look through those seven signs and you study them out, not just like, okay, have these ever happened before? Yes, they've all happened before at some time in history. But when you study them out in our generation, and you take a real look at it, you look at the data about how those signs are happening in our generation, let's say the last 100 years, versus like the rest of human history, you start realizing these things that Jesus said are the beginning of the birth pangs of the coming of the kingdom, of the end of the age. They're happening in our generation in a way that is incredibly accelerated compared right. to the rest of human history. Yes. And they're happening more often, with a greater intensity, and they're happening with a global experience. Like we might have seen in generations past or centuries past, localized events, but there's a global
right.
thing that we're seeing happening as it relates to all seven of those things. So when you study them out, you find these signs that Jesus said were happening are actually happening in the earth. Mm. I think people get, you know, they can get like stirred up and hyped up, and they see like news reports and, you know, like, what's the current thing happening in Russia and Ukraine, and where's that in the Bible? And a lot of times they want to just look at a certain event and say, this is Antichrist. Now it's right. Putin's the Antichrist.
Right.
You know, and like every time that there's a military thing, that person's the Antichrist, or that person's the Antichrist, that person's the Antichrist. And that's not why Jesus gave us those specific signs in Matthew 24.
Right.
He gave us those so that we would know the context mm-hmm. of the earth that's setting up the great tribulation and the days to follow with his return and the age to come.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that it's kind of what you said, the you know, if you just looked at this, just thought about it from a standpoint of human history and looked at the last, you know, century, you would see, it would be like a chart that was almost flatlined and then went completely off
yeah.
this chart. I mean, you just think of one of them, you said wars and rumors of wars. I mean, if you look at ancient warfare, you know, large battles where 20, 30,000 people were dying in large battles. And it really wasn't until the Persians came along and the Babylonians, you started seeing 100,000 people dying.
Right.
So in other words, you would see
that 20, sounds like 000, a huge number.
It sounds like a huge number, but then you think about the 20th century and we go World War I and 15 million died.
Right.
And then shortly after World War II and 50 million died.
50 million died in World War II. Compare that to human history, where 100,000 dead in a war was a big deal.
Yeah, and we live in that general time up period, so we don't think you think about it. But you're talking about other wars. I mean, the Korean War and there's all Vietnam, all the different wars. You should look at the warfare of people dying. Partially, it's just due to the increase of population in the earth and the ability for mass destruction in a way that's never been possible. But it would almost be like a flat line, and within the last 100 years, it's gone off the chart. One other thing I would say is that is the existence of the nation of Israel.
That's a big deal.
For thousands of years since 70 AD, there was no Israel. So you had all these prophecies related to the end times that were very detailed about what was going to happen in and around Israel that had no ability to even come to pass. And so obviously it created lots of different doctrines during that time. But the fact that they're back in the land, which seems normal to us, so we just think, oh yeah, Israel's there. That is so unusual compared to human history.
Yes.
And the end time narratives, a lot of it has to do with them being back in the land during the time of great trouble before the time the Lord restores the earth. And so the fact that they're back in the land is a key signpost that God has given to let us know that there's very few things hindering the movement forward of the end times narrative. There are still some things that have to happen, but they're not as big as we imagine. I mean, as far as what needs to shift and take place.
The drama that plays out, that the scripture shows us about the end of the age, that drama is centered around the nation of Israel.
Right.
And to the point you're making, for 1900 years about, those verses couldn't even be fulfilled because there was no nation of Israel. Now, in most of our lifetimes, we just take it Israel's a nation.
Right.
But 1948, 1967, those are two important dates that shifted the global context and the conversation as it relates to biblical prophecy being able to be fulfilled. And so it's not just like a news headline kind of biblical prophecy being fulfilled in our days. It's astounding.
Right.
And so you can see why older, Bible scholars in other ages, they would look at the Bible verses and they'd see Israel in there and they think, oh, that must represent something else.
Right.
Because Israel wasn't there.
Right.
So we know the Bible's true, so it must represent something else. But what it represents is Israel.
Right.
Because Israel has been regathered, put in their land.
Right.
And now those end time dramatic narratives and those prophecies, they can all be fulfilled.
Literally.
And that's what's going to happen. That drama is going to be centered around the nation of Israel. There's going to be crisis in the land.
Right.
There's going to be great war. There's going to be, the Lord is going to move in power in the land. There's many dynamics, but those things couldn't happen in other generations.
Right.
And they're happening. They're in our generation and we're used to it.
Right.
Which is a stunning thought.
Yeah. And it's not only Israel. The Lord's going to do something to Israel. The church, we're all going to be in on this drama, but God is just, he has a very focus about something he's going to do as it relates to fulfilling his promises in that land to that people.
Yeah. So those are key reasons. We want to encourage you to lean in, look at Matthew 24, look at the signs that Jesus mentioned, get your mind around those signs. I would also encourage you, look at Luke 21. Mm-hmm. And look at Mark 13, because those gospel writers, they also record the exact same components in a little different language than Matthew did, but it's the same discourse, Jesus, Olivet discourse, or end time discourse. Check that out, lean into it.